Hello and welcome back to Sports Wrestling, the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a man who has won 21 championships in WWE and he's part of the current Raw Tag Team Champions New Day. It's Mr. Kofi Kingston. How are you today, sir?
Well, now, hold on a second. Now, I don't know if you know how this works, but when we're champion, we don't just say, oh, they're the Raw Tag Team Champion. We just breeze over it, you know? We say WWE World Tag Team Champion. I know we don't have a lot of time, but you got to like allocate some time, do the intro right. You know what I'm saying? You can say that for any old champion that comes on your show, oh, tag team champion. And, you know, we do something unique. We go out of our way to be different and unique. Don't shortchange us, Michael.
I can only apologize. Sorry, Kofi. We'll start with this Monday. You're going to be taking on the Hurt Business. How are you feeling ahead of that match? Mm-hmm.
I feel great about it, to be honest. I love what the Hurt Business is doing. You know, you have guys who are very angry with their positions in the company, and they came together to be better. You know, oh, it sounds very familiar. You know what I'm saying? That's what we did, the New Day, you know? They obviously go about it a little bit differently. I don't think that their hips are as loose as ours, you know? MVP likes to talk about like, oh, you know, well, I don't go out there and I don't dance. You know, we don't do all that. And I don't know. I mean, I've seen him kind of flow a little bit. I think he has better hips than he lets on. Shelton, I think his hips are very stiff. I mean, I know he's one of the best athletes in the world, but his hips are very stiff. Cedric, I don't know. He's kind of that wild card. I don't know what his hips look like, because before he seemed to be like really happy. And then I go away for 2.5 months on injury, and then I come back, and then Cedric is real mad. And I say, well, Cedric, what's going on? Why are you hanging out with these guys, man? You could have hung out with us. You know what I'm saying? You could have hung out with us. We could have talked through some things, but no, now you want to hurt people like it's nobody's business, you know? So it is what it is, man. I think we have an interesting dynamic, and it's kind of like two polar opposites going at each other in the way that we go about things. We keep our glasses half full. I think MVP said it the best when we had that like face-to-face conflict, where he said that we like to put smiles on people's faces and they like to put grimaces of pain on people's faces. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, well, why, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? So you have the opposites kind of going at it for the most prestigious title in all of the tag division. So, I'm looking forward to it. You know, obviously two incredibly athletic and talented guys in Shelton and Cedric. So we'll see what happens, man.
And obviously, a heartbreaking moment for all of us over here in the UK and then yourself. You won't have Big E due to the draft. How much did that hurt you?
It did hurt. It did hurt. It was just, I think, weird because, you know, we like had just won our first match back together as a group. And then all of a sudden, Stephanie McMahon comes out and the first thing she says is that, well, you guys are going to Raw. And I said, wait a minute. You didn't say E's name. What are we doing here? And then, you know, E's going to SmackDown. At first, I was like, well, this is dumb, man. Like, why are you breaking up? Why are you breaking up this chemistry? Like, why would you do this? Like, who you have the ability to draft an entire like team? Why wouldn't you capitalize on that ability? But again, like being princes of positivity, I think that the positive spin on this is that E is incredibly talented, you know, has the ability to be the face of WWE, of course, from the physical aspect of it. He's a physical specimen. You see E, he's a head turner. You turn around and you say, oh my God, like this guy is a monster. But he's also able to draw people in. He's also able to be funny if he wants to be. He's able to kind of like run the gamut and do it all and wear a lot of different hats. He's an incredible athlete. You know, he's an amazing orator and storyteller on the mic, and just an all-around talent. I think, in my opinion, a generational talent. You know, like I think that E should get a lot more credit, and hopefully him being on this singles run will allow him to get a little bit more credit. And hopefully he gets a chance to be the face of the company, because if anyone deserves it, it's him. You know, he's shown that he is able to check all the boxes that are necessary and then some. And the ability to like connect with the crowd is something that not everybody can do. And the way that he is able to do that with people. We see it at signings all the time where people come up and they start putting their hand on their head. They start swiveling their hips. That's what he does. You know what I'm saying? So the level of connectivity with the WWE universe is unprecedented. So I love that he will hopefully get the chance to be able to show the entire world that he has what it takes to be at the upper echelon of this industry, because in my opinion, he definitely does.
And let's look at another positive from the past year or so. Let's talk about Kofi Mania. Can you describe them emotions when that bell rang in New York?
Oh, man, I'll try to be short with this, but it was the culmination of so many different things. Obviously, when I was a kid, this is all I ever wanted to do, and I would imagine myself being, you know, a WWE champion as I was wrestling with the kids in my neighborhood, which no kid should ever do. Don't do that, you know, but you know, we'd have these Royal Rumbles in my front yard, and I would always imagine myself being at WrestleMania, lifting the WWE Championship high above my head, and I was able to do that, not to mention myself and Ian Woods had been through so much to get to that point, the struggle of the New Day becoming a thing and establishing. So it's a miracle that we were actually able to do it the way that we have and have such an impact on the industry. You know, we always talked about having that moment, and then it actually happened. You know, then you had my kids in the ring, who I'm away from home a lot, and I tell them I'm going to work, and for them to be in the ring and experience the energy of the 75 or, you know, 85,000 people in the ring, in the arena, like, you know, for them to understand, like, hey, this is why Daddy is doing what he's doing. So hopefully they understand that, like, all the hard work can culminate in something that's so you know, impactful and met with such like just positive emotion. Hopefully, like, they make that connection and they go on to do great things in their lives. And you have my wife, who was in the crowd, who was sacrificed so much by, you know, if she's not at home with the kids, I'm not able to go and do these things. I'm not able to go and have an impact on the people. My dad was in the crowd. He, you know, was a guy who, you know, like, saw all the fandom that I had growing up. That was the first WrestleMania that he had ever gone to. My little brother was there. I practiced a lot of moves on him, and now he was in the crowd. You know what I'm saying? My brother-in-law was there, you know? So, and then obviously, like, the people in the crowd, you look around and you see people jumping up and down and hugging strangers, and they were just so happy and elated that after 11 long, hard fought years, the one shot that I had at the WWE Championship culminated in me actually winning on the grandest stage of them all after an amazing build that wasn't supposed to happen. If Ali doesn't get hurt at Elimination or before Elimination Chamber, I'd go to WrestleMania. That was never in the plan. They never said that, well, you know, Kofi, in 10 years from now, we're not going to let you sniff the title for 10 years. And then in 10 years, we're going to have you have this huge moment. It wasn't planned. It wasn't supposed to happen. So the fact that that happened was awesome. And then obviously for, like, people of color, right? Like, you have seen an African-born person in that role of WWE champion. You've never seen that. And you think of all the great things you've seen throughout WWE and the history of WWE. What you haven't seen up until that moment was an African-born champion. So to be able to, like, allow, like, I got so many messages where people had their kids, you know, like, they filmed their kids and you could see, like, the hope in their eyes, like, hey, I can do this. Because it's one thing to say that anything is possible, because, you know, it's theoretically, right? But it's another thing to say anything is possible because, look, it just happened. And for me to be at the center of all of that, to be able to provide motivation for the up-and-coming generations and to provide a sense of we did it for the current generations and the people that were fans, was something pretty special. And then going on beyond race, I know I said I was going to make this, like, brief, and it's not brief. I can never do it briefly. But going on beyond race is that the fact that, like, I legitimately struggled for 11 years, right? Like, there are a lot of things that people, or a lot of goals that people set that they give up on, or things happen, they're not able to, like, follow through. For me, it was a matter of, like, staying the course and believing in myself and, you know, just trudging along one step at a time, trying to have the best matches that I could possibly have with the talent that I was given. And it finally, you know, hanging around long enough, as luck would have it, the opportunity came and I was ready to capitalize on it and motivate so many people. So that's why I think it was such a big moment, because it transcended race and it just touched people on a very human, you know, a humanistic level, if that's a word. But you just feel like you when you're able to like push through a certain situation that you are being denied, that it's, you know, you can do it. And for me to provide that motivation for people, it's very humbling, and I appreciate it even now, you know? So yeah, man, it meant the entire world to me. If my career were to end tomorrow, they could never take a moment away from me and all the people who helped me get to that point.
That answer was spot on. I appreciate you going into great depths with that. Just to move on slightly, we're looking ahead to Survivor Series now. Obviously, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Undertaker's debut. Could you tell us what your best story of Undertaker is, like, obviously, in WWE?
Yeah, man. So for me, it was before I got signed. And a lot of people wouldn't know this because I was completely cloaked and draped in black. But I was actually a druid when Undertaker was having a feud with Randy Orton. And like Cowboy Bob Orton actually posed as a druid, and he came out. And then all the druids came out, and then we all ended up walking back. But one druid stayed, and that was Cowboy Bob Orton. And I was one of those druids. So like to be... Like, we all know, you know the impact that Undertaker has had on this industry, and he's had that impact for so long. As a fan of the industry for so long, like, you are a fan of the Undertaker, and you know just, like, what that means to see him come out. When you hear that bell gong as fans, like, you, everyone stands up on their feet. Oh, my God. Like, you are overcome with emotion. So for me, I got to be a druid. And, you know, got to like hold the torch and everything. And when the bell gonged, I got to be like right there with Undertaker as he was coming out for his entrance on, I think it was a SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken. But there's no energy like that. And especially as someone who was like up and coming and wanting to be on the other side of the barricade and be in that ring to feel that energy. And like that, like your goal is to always like to have that level of impact that Undertaker had. Now, the majority of us will fall short, but that's the star that you shoot for. So for me to be out there and experience that level of energy was unbelievable. And the fact that I had to kind of like contain it, like everyone in the crowd, you guys are allowed to and do, you know what I mean? Like let all your energy out. But for me, I had to be a druid and be like this and just be like, oh my God. And I couldn't even see him. And I said this in a different interview, but like I couldn't see him, but I sure could feel him as he was walking by because he has that level of energy and you just feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like you just feel his presence. And I think that all of us have been able to be fortunate enough to feel his presence over this past 30 years. Are you like, wow, dude, like 30 years, man, is a long, long time, but we've all been fortunate enough to experience that Taker energy. So yeah, it'll be strange when it's like officially like the bookend and this is the end of the chapter. But part of me is like hoping that it's not really over. Like it's almost unbelievable to imagine a WWE without Taker in it. So I don't know. It's going to be great to like actually be there and witness that. But definitely bittersweet to be saying goodbye to one of the legends who has had so much impact on this industry in so many different ways.
And then a final question for me, we've been asking a lot of people this. Excluding your own music, what is the best WWE theme music of all time?
Of all time, the one that always comes to my head is Mark Merrow, okay? And I know it's underrated. And people don't put this song in the upper echelon of music, but I'll tell you what, man, you put... Go to a gym, okay, and get some weight and get something that like is a little bit hard, you know, and then you start struggling with it, but then put it down and then play Mark Merrow's music and tell me that you can't lift that weight. I bet you can. It's incredibly it just invigorates you, like straight up, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s rock. And you're just sitting there and you can't help but be pumped up by that music, man. I'm telling you, man, it's one of the most underrated themes in the history of WWE. So I stand by Mark Merrow's music as being probably the greatest music of all time.
Perfect. Thank you so much for this. I was extremely nervous going into it. Like, it's similar nerves to when I actually met Taker, so I understand what you mean about his presence. But you made me feel at home straight away when you did your little intro. And I can only thank you for that. And it's been a pleasure to chat to you.
Right on, man. Likewise.